Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Lori Carrier is our organist at this service. She teaches music instruction primarily to young people. This is a student who happens to be a member of this church in my catechism class. This is Draven playing with that note, with that music, okay? Very good, Raven. Yeah. Lori trains her students to bow after they've played a selection.
They should.
Yeah, they should. For those on radio, WPHM, we welcome you to the worship of Our Savior Lutheran on this Sunday in the season of Epiphany, which means rapidly we have Lent approaching us. This day is we're doing service of the word, so no sacrament this day. And several of the selections are going to be played on the piano by Lori being more piano-oriented, and then she'll use the pipe organ for the rest of the hymns, organ preferred. So we welcome you, those on radio. We greet you here in Port Huron, Michigan. Our service begins with confession of sin. If you'll please rise. Blessed it be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and then calls us, who unites us and then sends us. Amen. Gathered into God's presence, then, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives." In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that all of your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, "All Are Welcome."
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you, be with you all.
And also with you.
Oh, power on. We're going to sing the first two verses of There Is a Name I Love to Hear. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together, please. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. That comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated. We have the reading of God's Word this day. First reading is by Randy.
The exiles have returned and rebuilt Jerusalem. Now Ezra, the priest, reads the law of Moses to them in the public square. When they hear it, they weep for their sins and for the long years in exile. But Ezra reminds them that the joy of the Lord is their strength. The reading is from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Randy. Gary has our second reading.
The apostle and pastor Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to describe how intimately connected we are in the church. For this struggling congregation in Corinth, Paul delivers a vital message of unity that is a mark of the church today. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31a. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves are free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. All are apostles, all are prophets, all are teachers. Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gary.
If you're able to rise for the gospel acclamation there. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and to proclaim release to the captives. Hallelujah. The gospel reading for this day is from Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 14. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee. A report about Jesus spread throughout the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues, their places of worship for the Jewish people, and he was praised by everybody. Now, when he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, he went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, he stood up and he read, and the scroll of prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll. He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Focusing on the three lessons, all part of a theme of Epiphany, which speaks about getting this message, this good news, euangelion is the Greek word, it's good news out to all the peoples, and our obligation to participate in getting that word out. You can look at an abbreviated edition of the highlights there in your sermon outline, or you can walk through the word with me, page 6. Nehemiah. I dare say, of the Old Testament, what two books have people most likely had ever read? Ezra and Nehemiah. How many of you have read them? Good. It's about 4 or 5 of you. Good job. So, in the course of things, Nehemiah, after Persia was coming to power with Cyrus, he gave permission for them to reconstruct the temple, place of worship, gave them permission, religious freedom. And so Nehemiah is the governor, watching, he can't say president, king, or whatever, because he's still in the empire. But he was governing that region, and he had one with him, Ezra. Ezra was a servant of the Lord. He was one who ministered to the word, and this is where it takes us today. Ezra brings forth and gathers the congregation of Israel, probably close to 500,000 people since they left some back in Babylon. How many, we are not told in the written word. We assume, come on, if you have a choice between living a little bit of luxury in the capital city of an empire, even though you're treated like slave or second class, the other side is to go back in the desert and reconstruct something your eyes never even saw. And that was a temple, and not knowing if you'd make it to it in that vast journey. Well, the people who had jobs and employment back in Babylon, they just said, "Hey, we'll stay here." The remnant went back. So it wasn't all the Jews or all the Hebrew people. It will become a segment. Now, as Ezra is standing before the congregation, what is his text? It is the word of God. It's the Torah, law. So it's at minimally 5 books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Most likely, it's the history of Israel up to that point, which means a lot of the prophets were not added because they were not yet created, okay? So in the course of the reading, Ezra says, "Okay, all of you stand up." Now, we could practice what that's like, but I have a feeling a lot of us would drop because those books don't read quickly, but they do read definitively about God's will. And as told in the text, then others added their comments because They wanted the people to understand, not just hear the word. It'd be like memorizing the catechism of Luther, but never being told what it meant. You know, just hearing the word alone without explanation. Well, Martin Luther even said, if the word of God is read in the congregation in worship, then it also should be explained, a la a sermon. And I think how many people have teased me, and some, I'm sure, seriously said, Pastor, can you keep the sermon short? We have something else we have to be doing. Dinner's in the oven. We have to get home for the game, right? That's going to happen next week. So in the course of things, no, we're not going to rush this. You need to digest the word, not just hear it. Be doers of the word, the New Testament says, not just hearers only. So he has read this book to the people. He says, now what are we going to do about it? They answered, amen, amen, you're telling the truth. This is what God wants of us, his people. And as that came to an end, the people understood what they heard. That's crucial, right? To understand the word, not just hear it. So in the course of time, the people wept. They felt grief because their life measured against the word falls short. If you and I were to walk into God's word and say, well, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. Then you haven't heard the word speak to you. Pretty good is not what God wants, first off. God wants perfection. And if you can't give it and we can't give it because of the bondage of the will, then we have to trust in God to provide our righteousness through faith. And there is that core concept Luther fought for, that righteousness comes through faith, not by obedience to the Torah, because no person can do that. In the second reading, you have the Apostle Paul continuing what began 2 weeks ago, talking about the analogy of the human body to express the church. He says there is only one body, okay? You ever play musical chairs? As that circle gets smaller and smaller and chairs are pulled out and gets tighter and tighter, everybody wants to be in that circle, right? And grab a chair. Then you win, right? A cupcake or a slice of pie, whatever. Whatever the high stakes are for that event. Everybody wants to be in the circle, but who's in the circle? And there we get our divisions. I should also tell you, parenthetically, among many of our denominations, this begins the week which we call the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. 2 years ago, we acted on that by asking Dick from St. John's United Church of Christ to come over here to preach, and I went over to his people and preached. We are in altar and pulpit fellowship, which means we can freely pass through each other's traditions if invited, and we participate. We recognize the unity that Christ gives us is not human determined. If that was human determined, we'd get along with very few people in our own congregation, right? So it's not up to humans. It is up to the Word of God. And so in the Lutheran tradition of the ELCA, those who are in harmony in understanding word and sacraments, we're able to have fellowship with them. They don't have to qualify beyond that. They don't have to meet some litmus test that I gave them to prove whether or not they're true Christians. We got to listen and talk to each other because language a lot of times separates people. You know as well in a marriage, you could be talking about the same subject between genders and you'd hear each other differently. You've got filters. Everybody has filters. It takes patience. It took years of meetings with each denomination's relationship to the ELCA, not to water down the word, but to understand what each other's confessions and histories teach. When it happens, we call that we're an altar and pulpit fellowship. I'm not going to give you a whole list, but if you go to the website of the ELCA, you will see the list. We have fellowship with the Methodist Church. We have fellowship with the United Church of Christ. We have fellowship with the Presbyterian Church. We have fellowship with the Episcopal Church. And there's many other denominations. We have altar and pulpit fellowship. That is to claim the unity. And certainly the prayer Jesus spoke, John 17, I pray for them all, Lord. I pray that they may be one. And that's a tough line, because some will say, well, you went too far, or you didn't go far enough. We do it slow, right? Most things in a church are done slowly, grindingly slowly, before we give up that title of being in full communion with another body. But it is God's intent to bring his people together. Statement of Ephesians, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The statement, he doesn't put qualifications that we do with since the 16th century, after there were splinter groups and reformations and all kinds of stuff that happened historically. But we understand we can get along with each other peacefully. We don't need total conformity, because then there wouldn't be a difference. If a husband understood a woman as a woman understands a woman, we'd have no conflict. If a woman could understand a man as a man understands a man, there'd be no issues. But God put into us a stubborn streak. And if you don't say it the way I hear it, I don't know what you're saying. By hear it, you know your filters. But to bring together a sense of unity in the church, which is the body of Christ, that's a tricky one. Why do we do it? Because Christ said he wants the church to be one, as a witness to the world. It's not for self-glorification. It's not for size, dominance. It is to better serve the Christ, the Messiah, in the name of God. So, work together, see that all things are going. Obviously, we don't all have the same gifts or skills, but God has balanced it out to bring together the clusters and work together to form traditions and bailings. If you looked, just, it's not meant to be a sidetrack, but if you look at how Lutherans came to the United States, and you were to look at all the nations they came from, and each of them would have said Swedish should be the language of the Lutheran church. Some would have said German should be the language of the German church. Some would have said it's Norwegian should be the language of the church. Because they were all coming out of their tradition and mindset and nationhood. Okay. So as we settled in on North America, we've had to struggle to find out how we bring this together. Unity. We don't always agree, but we have to do the best for the mission, for Christ, and for the well-being of the church. With that in mind, Paul writes this passage we have seen. Third lesson is where Jesus is speaking in Luke 4, Luke being our gospel of the year. So just to remind you of that. Jesus was filled with power, because remember what he had done, right? See if it tests you for last week. What miracle was the first miracle, and others that will slew after that, was the water to wine, John's gospel. As he is moving on, rumors about his power, extraordinary nature this man has, this Jesus. He catches people's attention, but you know, it's a little strange what he's saying, because he talks about himself in kind of marginal ways that we can relate to. And he participates in the custom of the synagogue. Now, for those that don't know the structure of a synagogue, when you come in, the men sit on the first floor. There was a second floor for women and children. Okay? It was segregated from the beginning. Okay? That's the tradition of Judaism. Now, obviously, the Orthodox might be more inclined to continue that today, but most of the Jewish community does not gender separate our children. But Jesus takes the scroll. He reads a passage. He hands it over to the kind of the worship leader of the service. And he says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing, in my speaking. What was fulfilled? It is the year of the Lord's favor, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. The relevance of that reading and saying boldly, I am the one bringing in the new day, the Messiah. People took offense. Some believed. And in the course of things, Jesus will use those words again later in the gospel, which will be when John the Baptist has been arrested. He's sitting in the dark dungeon. And he is sitting there rethinking his message and what he's been doing and looking for Jesus to be the Messiah, but it didn't quite do it the way he thought it should be done. He faithfully served God, and he ticked off Herod, and then he is on his deathbed. He's going to die. He wants certainty. So he sends one of his followers over to Jesus and says, tell us clearly, are you the Messiah? He was kind of wishy-washy and testing it. What would Jesus say? And I hope you know the answer. He says, you go and tell him, and he reads this portion of Isaiah. People have good news preached to them. People are being healed. People are looking forward to a coming day of God. And today, not next year, not in 100 years, today it has been fulfilled. Tell John that. And like a good Jewish rabbi, he teaches them by asking them a question. Do you believe that, John? I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the gift of God for this world's redemption. We have a message, and we should not ever be timid. We don't want to be obnoxious, believe me. Because then we'll fit somebody's stereotype of Christians. They don't listen, they only talk. You listen, then you talk. You find out what the need is of your neighbor, your friend, your relative, whoever you come across. When you're real to that person, they will listen to you. May God's grace, God's love, tenderize our message and make, not dependent on us, but on God's Spirit to make it happen for that individual. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, My Jesus, I Love Thee, page 13. Thank you.
Our worship continues with our prayers. Please rise. Marcia leads us.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Empower bishops, pastors, deacons, teachers, evangelists, and all members of Christ's body with your Spirit. Open our hearts to hear your word of life and respond in lives of service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the earth, for all creatures of the land, air, and water, heal environments damaged by disaster or pollution. Make us wise stewards of all you have entrusted into our care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the nations, liberate us from our captivity to fear and ways of violence. Free those who are unjustly imprisoned and those who are imprisoned for working for freedom. Give us vision to seek the pathways of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, rescue those who suffer abuse or neglect. Bring an end to hunger and greed. Accompany those who are alone or vulnerable. Comfort those who grieve and all who are ill. We remember in our prayers today, Iris Cook, Rhonda Crosby, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, John Jaskuski, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Sharon Cunningham, Jeff Parker's Uncle Tom, Judy's husband Larry, Ed O'Connor, and Lord, we would ask that you would comfort the family of Jim Goldsworthy with his passing. We also remember and pray for those serving our nation, including from our own church family, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sulier, Paul DeJohn Jr., Jaron Sulier, and Rob Nolan, and all those returning safely from their service at home and overseas. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this assembly, bless those who proclaim your word and those who teach. Bless those whose talents are not recognized, and teach us to honor the gifts of all your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have gone before us in the faith. Wipe away all tears and bring us with them into the joy of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the Lord's Prayer this day, so we sing. You may be seated, please. We receive our gifts for doing the ministry Christ has transmitted to us. Once again, for those who maybe picked up the radio broadcast a little bit later, Draven Erickson played for us his prelude
And he will be, now, is this a young person? He was asked by his teacher, Lori, could he play at both services? That meant he had to get up early, right, Raven? And you'll do it next week, right? You did it once for the Lord, I get it. So this week he has gotten up, made special arrangements, and has shared with us his growing talent, as we have many in this congregation of youth who play their instruments for us. So you're on our list, Raven, and we know where you live. So it's really delightful as a pastor to oversee. You see it one way, I see behind the scenes. It's kind of fun to watch the talent grow with a wonderful instructor, with Lori. And she does a great job. Two others of our members have been studying with her, but I think more that Brandon's on his own doing his thing, getting ready.
Brandon's coming back
next month. Oh, okay, good. So I have Brandon and Nathan back under her tutelage. And a gift of music we appreciate. I've got to whisper. I don't think she listens to us. Emma Cray, we're doing a surprise potluck after the second service, so please come back if you can, or listen to Draven play a second time. You'll be at the late service. But today actually is her 92nd birthday. So we're glad she is still among us, woman of faith, servant of God. She's just a good gal. And she'll be here, and if this has gone right, nobody has told her. So we'll see how well the congregation or friends or relatives are keeping a secret. She has family over in Canada, where she was born and raised, coming over. Her birth son and his family are in Imlay City, so they're coming over. Good time today, and our gals are helping put on the party, as well as the family. So join us for a potluck, basically at 12 o'clock. Radio sponsor this day is Emma Cray. And the flowers on the altar were purchased by my daughter Hope. Her parents, Don and Cheryl Dorsbacher. 31st is our wedding anniversary. It'll be 44 years, so thank you. I knew I couldn't afford 88 roses. I said, I don't want it to be cheap here. So we got 4 white roses for the decades and 4 red roses for the individual years. So don't tell my wife I'm cheap. She knows me. I can't get away from that. Put all my priorities on my chickens and ducks. No. Many things in your now insert, just read and respond. We always, you know what the weather's doing to this part in the nation. It's unpredictable, untimely, and it interrupts with our plans, right? And know the saying, it goes, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him what you think you're going to be doing. Listen to the Lord. Who's in charge, really? We're humbled by weather, but those things are coming. Many other announcements. Read them carefully. Respond to the ones. There's something, though, that Marcia wants me to announce, one of which is your statements are still in the mailboxes. If you didn't pick them up last Sunday, your financial giving for last year for your tax records. I had to deal with one person this last week. It says, I don't want people to know what I give. And I said, this is not optional. We have to give you a receipt. Federal government requires us to give you a receipt if you're gonna use it, okay? So that's why we do it, I take seriously, keep the left hand and the right hand separate from knowing what you're giving to the Lord out of Matthew's gospel. But this is required by law. Many other things to read and consider. I think I got them right, Marcia?
Yes.
Okay, score 2-2. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. Please rise, we sing.
let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. The God of glory, dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is In Christ There Is No East or West.
Peace, Christ is your light.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.